Okay, today's daf is Ayin Gimel. We need to start back on Ayin Bet Amud Bet at the beginning of the Gemara section. Okay, about halfway down the page. We're going to get into, again, a lot of business relations. You can see, just to start as a starting point, I just want to point out that clearly this was business relations was obviously very important. That was the main way that people made their money, and therefore these issues are very crucial, and they keep giving specific cases. We're going to see a lot of different cases today, and we're going to get into all sorts of issues. Today's a little bit diffuse. It's sort of a little bit all over the place. All different cases, they don't necessarily connect to each other, but all relating to business relations, and whether it be loans or whether it be sales, and whether it's interest, whether it's non-interest, how we relate to it. We'll finish up, if we get to the very end, with the issue of asmachta again. Okay, we're going to keep seeing it over the course of this masechet. Yeah, also appears in Bava Batra. We'll see it a bunch of times by the time, and then we'll even get to it in Sanhedrin when they talk about gambling. Okay, asmachta. And maybe when we get toward the end and we've seen all the cases, we'll try to do a little bit of study of the differences between them. Today we're going to get to an important distinction in asmachta. If we get there at the end of today's app, if not tomorrow morning, one of the important distinctions that later Tosfot uses as one of his bases as to when something's asmachta, when it's not. Okay, so we had the Mishnah about, let's just review the first line, Ein poskin ala peret ad sheyetzei hashar. You cannot link into a low price when it comes to produce to get it at a higher price, right, when it's at a higher price later, but for the lower price, because that's basically like hantanamo. You pay up front, you wait till later, and you get more produce, unless yatza hashar, right? And then we said also, right, even before yatza hashar, if the guy who's giving you the payroad has in his domain, then he's allowed to. And once yatza hashar, we say even if ain lo, it's as if yesh lo, because he could just go and buy it somewhere else. Now the Gemara is going to start off quite strange because it's going to say something that seems the exact opposite. Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, ain poskin al shar shebashuk. Okay, you can't do this kind of thing. You can't pay up front, link into a lower price. Am Rabbi Zera le Rav Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, and now Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Asi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan also. Okay, that is that Rabbi Asi said Rabbi Yochanan made this statement, and now Rabbi Zera is saying Rabbi Yochanan even made this statement, afilu kedor mishazeh, even in this area where there's like a big shuk and there's a set price, okay, which is obviously against our mission. If you didn't have that, you could say, well, maybe it's not a set price. But he says, afilu kedor mishazeh, this big shuk where the prices are set. Amar lei, lo amar Rabbi Yochanan, ela b'shuk shel ayarot, delo kvi'i tarayhu. So now he says, no, that's not true. He obviously didn't say it in a place where the prices are set. He said it in one of these ayarot, these small towns, where the prices are not stable. Okay? Which makes a lot of sense, because then you could say, it's not yatza hashar, and that's why. So now they want to know, well, what was the havamina? What did they think in the beginning? Luman de salak adata mikara, what they thought from the beginning. De amar Rabbi Yochanan afilu kedor mishazeh. So what could possibly be the case in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, right? If Rabbi Yochanan, again, this is all what we thought Rabbi Yochanan said. So when Rabbi Zera thought that Rabbi Yochanan said, afilu kedor mishazeh, where the prices are set, how could there possibly be a situation of the Mishnah? So what do they answer? Even once yatzar shar, they're still not totally stable until a later point, okay? Now we're learning, we saw this before actually, that there's the earlier point before the prices are set, before all the crops are ready, before everyone's finished with the work relating to the crops. Then there's the set price. And then if you recall, we talked about people keep their stuff in the storehouses for later, right? So that when there's nothing left in the shuk, then they start bringing out the stuff in the storehouses. So what do they say here? Matnitim b'chiti da'akalbe v'arbe d'mashuch tarei tfe. That once we're talking about when the people who have the stuff stored up for later, when they bring out their stuff, at that point there's so much supply in the shuk that the price is stabilized much more so, okay? So there's three stages now. There's the earlier, there's the later when the prices go up and they're set, and then even later, the prices become more set when the people bring their stuff out of storage, and then they get set generally, we talked about before, that it's a higher price at that point because it's not, right, we're already at the last stage of what's left. So they can raise the prices even more because people know if I don't buy now, there'll be nothing left. But at that point, apparently the prices are more stable according to this, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Tana Rabbanan, New Brighta. Ein poskin ala perot ad shiyatza ashar. Yatza ashar poskin. Afa pi she'ein leze, yesh leze. Okay, so far that's the same as we saw in our Mishnah, right? Once the shahr comes out, you can link in at this low price because even if you don't have, the guy doesn't have, he'll buy from someone else who does have. But now, we talked about the prices being stable. What if there's two different prices in the shuk? There's different types of chitim you can buy. So now, is that called yatza ashar or not? Hayu chadasho me'arba v'yishanot mishalosh. We saw this before that the grain dries out, and once it's dried out, right, it's worth more at that point because you don't have to spend the time drying it out. It's already ready. So if you had new ones in the shuk go for four, and yishanot mishalosh, until it stabilizes that the new ones and the old ones are the same price, you can't link in at a price because, you know, chitim or chitim, general, and there's two different prices in the market.
Unless they're organic, right.
You could say that it's very, right, it's interesting why the Gemara doesn't say that there's a separate price for chadashot and a separate price for yeshanot. Now, in the next case, they're going to try to suggest that. Hayu lekotot me'arba v'chol adam mishalosh. Okay, what is this? By the way, when they say four and three, they mean four, I think it's kurim or something for a seah, four measurements. What?
It says seah.
Okay, right, four, sorry, thank you. Four seah, the court comes up later. Four seah for a seah, okay? That's the price. It means four, you know, let's say 4 kilo for a, you know, for a shekel. Okay, hayu lekotot me'arba. What are lekotot? If you remember, this is from leket. The poor people go around and they collect. Now, what do they collect? The scraps, right? It's not as good. So if poor people collect stuff and they try to sell it, okay, they collect in the fields, right, stuff that people leave over. Those sell for four, a sela. Ulechol adam mishalosh. But everyone else, right, who has their own fields, they sell for more money. So ein poskin ad sheyetze ashar lalokeit v'lamocher. There has to be a stable price again. Amar Rav Nachman, poskim lelekutot kishara lekutot. Right, which I said, why did they say it earlier? I don't know. But why can't you just say, I'm going to link into the lakutot, I'm going to buy lakutot from a lakot, right, from a poor person, at the rate of the poor person, at the poor people's, you know, whatever that rate is. I'm going to rabba le Rav Nachman, maishna lokate de'itle, sorry, de'itle yazif mi lakut chavre. Why would we allow you to link into this price of the lakot? Because if he doesn't have, what will he do? He'll go buy from another poor person, right? If you link into a price with an ani, he doesn't have a taf, so go buy from someone else. So balabayit nami yazif milakot. You should be able to buy from a balabayit at that price because he can also get from a lakot. Right? So that should work because he should be able to get from the other guy. Amarle balabayit zile bemilta lemezach milakot. So why don't we say, in other words, then you should be able to buy from anybody because if you buy for that price, you want to link in and get more, right? The whole problem here is you give money, right? You give money for X amount, and we don't want you to get X plus one, right? That's the problem. That'll be rebeat. So if you get from a lakot, it's going to be more than you're going to get more. So then they say no, because if you, you know, you should be able to say, even if you're a balabayit, he should be able to get from the lakot, and then, one second, no, it's after the opposite. If you get... Right. If you get from the lakot, if you get from the balabayit, you'll be getting X plus one, right? Because he's giving you something that's valued at a higher price. So why don't you just say the balabayit can get from a lakot, and he can give you for that same price you linked into. So now, what do they answer? Two possible answers. Balabayit zile beimilta lemezach milakot. It would be an embarrassment for a balabayit to go buy from a poor person. And the scraps, remember, it's not good wheat. If you buy from a guy wheat and you link it to a certain price and he wants to get that same value price and he goes to get it from a lakot, he's not going to want to do that. He's not going to want to also give you that kind of produce. Ibait ema, second option. Mandi yav zuze le balabayit aperi shapira yayif. If I give you money for the better stuff, right, and you link into a lower price, but I want you to give it to me, I want you to give me the better produce. I don't want you to give me the bad stuff. Okay, so therefore, that's not going to work. Amar Rav Sheshet. Amar Rav Huna. Ein lovin al shar shabashuk. Okay, you can't take a halva'a, right? If I don't pay, what does this mean? This means if I take a loan and I say, I'll either pay you money or I'll pay you this price of chitim, right? I'll give you this amount in chitim, what they're valued at right now. So again, that'll be like se'ah b'se'ah, right? But you can't lend out a se'ah of wheat and get back a se'ah of wheat, because at the time you might give it back, it might be worth more, in which case it's going to be rebeat. So the same way, if you borrow money, you can't say, I'll either give you money back or I'll give you the value of the shuk right now, because when you pay it back later, it won't be the same value. Amar le Rav Yosef bar Chama le Rav Sheshet, Amar le Rav Asi bar Abba le Rav Sheshet. Okay, so somebody now says to Rav Sheshet, Umi amar Rav Huna hachi, v'ha bai mine me Rav Huna. Didn't they ask from Rav Huna? Hani b'nei be Rav, di yazfe b'tishrei u'pare b'teve, shari, o asur. So they asked about these people. Remember we learned about these? The people who borrow money in Tishrei, right? And then they pay back in Tevet. Okay, so they borrow wheat in Tishrei when it's at a lower price, and they pay back in Tevet later. Is it mutar or asur? So Amar lehu, hachite bihine v'hachite b'shili. Remember what he said? He said, if they want, they can go buy, even if they don't have chitim now. Remember, what's the story with Se'ah b'se'ah? You can only lend if you have the chitim on hand. That works. Let's say you don't. Well, there's a shuk in Hini and Shili where you can buy for cheap. So therefore, if I take out a loan, if the Loveh wants, the Loveh can buy with that money, have the chitim on hand, and then the fluctuation in price, right, they'll already be with the name of the Malveh on it, and the fluctuation will be in the Malveh's property, which means that it'll be allowed. So therefore, why can't you should be able to do that? So he buys Zavne Uparele, right? If he wants, he can buy and pay him back from that step. So in other words, he can always, or even later, he can, and it's, even if you pay back in Tevet, you should be able to find a cheaper price somewhere and pay him back the exact value of what you borrowed. So therefore, he says it's okay. So how could you then say, Ein lovin al shar shabashuk? Because according to Rav Huna himself, you can, because you can go to Hini and Shili where the prices are cheaper, get it at that exact same price and pay it back, and there won't be any rebeat. So what do we say now? Savar Rav Huna, Ein lovin. He thought in the beginning, Ein lovin. So when they quoted him in the beginning saying you can't, that's what he thought originally. But Kevin Deshamala, Lahad Amr Shmuel Barchia, Amr Shmuel Barchia, Amr Rabbi Elazar, Lovin. But then he learned later that someone said you actually can do this. So there, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, we were told that you can. Therefore, Amr Iunami, Lavin. So basically, he changed his mind. He thought you couldn't. Now he learned that you could. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, you're seeing, by the way, the heter, right? The direction of mock hearing things, right? Which, again, in general, both in the time of the Amoraim, even the Tanaim, and in the time of the Rishonim, they constantly were coming up with heterim to allow business relations because it was very critical. Okay, we saw it with boat travel back in Shabbat, about traveling on Shabbat, and how many kulot they came up with and different ways where it was allowed. Same thing here. Okay? Tana Rabbanan. Hamolich chavila mimakom lemakom. He's now taking produce of one person's. Okay, we live in a place, let's say, where the prices are low. I want to sell my stuff in the place where the prices are higher. But instead of going myself, what does he do? I'm going to the place to go sell it for more money. His friend meets him on the way and says, listen, I'll do it for you. I'll pay you now the high price, right? And I'll take your produce now, I'll sell it there, and I'll bring back the higher price. Okay? So now this all depends. This goes back to our classic rebeat. What did we say? When does... This is basically like an investment, right? You give it to me now, and I'll return you a higher rate. It all depends on who takes responsibility for it. Remember, right now, he takes the produce. What if something happens to it? Is he responsible or you're responsible? Right? So, if it's Bereshut Mocher, remember how it works. If the person who sold it to him says, I'll assume responsibility, right? Then what are we going to say? Mutar, because I'm basically, if it's me who has the schora, and then I give it to my friend to sell, I'm basically giving him what's called a pikadon. When he returns it to me, it's mine the whole time, because I assumed responsibility, right? So if I assume responsibility until such time, now what happens? I only assume responsibility until he sells it. Then he has to get me the money back. But the increase in price went between the time that I gave it to him until the time he sells it. At that point, it's already at the higher price. So if it goes up, it goes up in my domain, which means there's no repeat. It was mine, and it went up in price. But look, Bereshut Lokeach Asur. But if he assumes responsibility, the guy who's taking it to sell, then basically what's he doing? He's taking a loan, because remember, a loan is he assumes full responsibility. So if he's assuming full responsibility, then it's a loan. And then when he brings it back to me, he's going to bring me back something at a higher value, and that's going to be forbidden. Hamalipay wrote me makom le makom. Mitzaocha verova amarlo, tznemli, vani alelecha peirot sheyeshli ba'oto makom. Okay, so now he says, right, I'm giving you, again, I'm going to sell my peirot in a more expensive place. My friend stops me on the way and says, give them to me and I'll give you peirot, I'll give you back peirot, right? Se'ah basically. But he's saying, I have these peirot in a different place. So, im yeshlo peirot ba'oto makom mutar, vim lav asur. This is the classic, yeshlo or enlo. V'achamarin ma'alim b'makom ha'yoker ki b'makom ha'zol ve'enan choshishin. Okay, what is this? These are people who transport produce, the chamarim. They work, they ride the donkey riders, and they transport the stuff. Now, what do? They take money up front, and when they return, okay, they take money up front to sell people stuff, and when they return it, they usually add in, okay, what happens? They return produce, and they usually top it off with a little extra. So now you might say, again, the people pay them up front, right? And what do they get back? They get back what they spent, but they get it back with a little extra. So now they're allowed to do this ve'enan choshashin. Now, what's always our issue? Ribid is when you get something for nothing, right? So in this case, what are we going to say? As long as it's in the best interest of the chamarim to do this, to top it off. Why? Right? When you go to a store, what happens? If they always add a little extra, right? You're going to say, I'm going to shop here more often, right? So therefore, it's in your best interest to get a little extra. Now, if you're buying something, it's okay. But if you're paying money up front and only getting it later, then it's going to look like ribid. So why is it okay here? Because there's some other interest at stake. Now, we're going to see two different answers as to what the interest is. And even that, it's not 100% clear how to understand these opinions, but we'll go by one interpretation. My time, Rapap Amar, Nicho Lehu de Megale Lehu Tara. Okay, so according to this, I'll give you two explanations. Megale Lehu Tara sounds like they reveal the rates. In other words, the people who they sell to have information that the Hamarim don't have, and they reveal them the rates. That's Rabbeinu Chanan's interpretation. But Rashi goes with a more simpler interpretation, which doesn't fit as well with the words, but he says that basically they'll see that these people are good socharim, these chamarim, and they'll do more business with them, and it'll basically encourage them to get more business, and it's obviously in their best interest then. And as long as they're getting something, then they can give something in return, and then that's okay. The second answer is, Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Ika amar, nicholuhu d'mozilu gabayhu. Okay, this is another interesting one. What do they say? That if, what are the chamarim doing? They go to buy and then bring it to somebody else, right? They're the middlemen. So it's like a wholesaler and a retailer, right? There's different parts. So now they know that the wholesaler will give them a better price if the wholesaler knows that they're lowering their price. It's all business interactions, right? So they'll give them more, basically, meaning, which in essence means they're going to lower the rate, because they know that they'll be able to get a lower rate from the wholesaler. Okay? So therefore, they'll do it because it's in their best interest, because then they get these lower rates from the wholesaler. Which is
meaning the seller in the shop will give a lower price because the seller in the shop will get a lower price from the wholesaler.
Right, the chamarim will get a lower price, so they'll be able to give it to the next guy at a lower price. Okay? And therefore it's in their best interest to do this, because then they can go to the wholesalers and say, hey, listen, I lowered my prices, I need you to lower yours. Okay, right? This goes on in business all the time, right? People negotiate with the wholesaler to give them a better price because they need to lower their prices. So my benayu, what's the difference between these two interpretations? If it's a new guy in the shuk, okay, the chamarim are new, then the wholesalers don't have a relationship with them, and they're not going to trust them that they really lower their price. And this is all based on, right, how do they know they're going to lower their prices? Because they tell them, I lowered my price, and they believe them. But if they're new, then they're not going to know, and they're not going to actually lower the prices for them. But the first interpretation will still be true, because they'll still be trying to drum up new business, and it will be in their best interest. Okay, new case. Besura azle arba'a arba'a. Okay, things are sold for four, okay, in Sura. Four rashes is grive bezuza. I forget what grive is. It's some measure. What?
Measures.
Four measures. Okay, four measures for azuz. Bekafre azlan shita shita. But in a different city, right, this is very common. You go to one city and the prices are one way, right? You try to buy something in Renan and the prices are usually higher. So in Kafre, they sell for six. Okay, six. So obviously, it's six measures for azuz. So that's obviously a cheaper price. Rav, who lived in Sura, Yahiv Rav Zuze Lechamre, Bekabil Alei Onsa D'Orcha, V'shakaminayu Chamisha. So what did he do? He says to the Chamarim, listen, go buy me stuff in Kafri, because it's cheaper, okay? And I'll accept upon myself Onsa D'Orcha, which means, right, which means what? It's like a halva, right? So now, and then what? It, no, sorry. One second. If he accepts, it's like a pikadon, right? Sorry, he's accepting. It's like a pikadon, which means it's not a halva, which means it's okay. He can do it. But shakel minei chamisha, and he says, but I'll take back five, not six. So the Gemara says, v'nishkol shita. Why shouldn't he take six? Right? It should work. So what are the answer? Adam chashuv shani, because he was an adam chashuv, he wanted to. He wanted to basically, you know, err on the side of looking better, you know, and not going anywhere near repeat. Okay, there was something here,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I saw the opposite a couple of years ago. Because
yeah.
Because he was an actual tool, there was supposed to be a benefit to the donkey drivers that they're dealing with the donkey.
Ah, right, that they'd be able to get a benefit. Right, yeah, fair. That they were getting a benefit because, right. That could be also, it depends on what city. I don't remember who it was, and that could be something that was very specific for a particular area in terms of the benefit gotten. Possible. It's a good question, though. Here, we're not really looking at the issue of whether it's... There also, it was looking, is it repeat or is it not repeat? And there, they're getting some benefit, so it's not repeat. Here, he's saying, I have to keep a higher standard because people will look at me and think maybe there's repeat. So whether there's a problem, or, right, even if there isn't a problem at all, then he still wants to look like it's not repeat. Just one second.
Five is still more than four. It still looks like repeat.
Right. So, exactly. Right. So therefore... Yeah, so
he's looking like he's charging less
right.
interest.
Oh.
I don't think that gets him that much credit.
Right, so they say, ah, so why five and not four? Because he's paying them, they get a payment for their doing, the one that they get, the one measure they get, is viewed as payment for their work. Okay, so that's why he did it like that. Okay.
Then there's not much
buy
point
me
in
ne-
it,
what?
Then there's not much point in his having bought the other in the cheaper city.
No, because he still gets five.
Mm-hmm.
He still gets more, right?
Not after he's paid them.
No, he pays them one and he gets one.
He has one.
He still gets one more. As opposed to getting four measures, he gets five measures. It's still in his best interest,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Because he could have gotten five. He could have gotten
four and not had to
four
pay
and not taken achor yoda derech, right? No, but then he would have just bought them here. There was no point to even do that.
Yes.
But, okay. Ba'amine Rabbi Asim Rabbi Yochanan. Ma'u lasot begruta otken. Okay, now what did we see before? We saw that you can give money earlier, right, and link into the rate, right, when it comes to grain. Now that's something that's very common. But what about scraps of metal, which isn't so common, which means if something's not so common, then the rate in the shuk is not as stable because there's not, right, when there's a lot of things being sold, so the rate is pretty standard. But here, the rate is not going to be so standard. So Amar Lei, Bikesh Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi lasokin b'klei pishtan v'lo hinichu Rebbe. So he says to him that Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi wanted to do this with klei pishtan and Rebbe wouldn't let him. Rebbe said to him, no, you can't do this. In other words, you can only do it with produce. Like our whole thing was about perot. Works with perot, it doesn't work with gruta, it doesn't work with klei pishtan, which they equate with grutaot. Okay, with flax clothing, because again, it's not sold as often. Ika de Amre, some people say that it was actually, right, then we're going to see the reverse. Because Rebbe lasot begruta oken v'lo hinichu Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. It's a machloket about, right, there's two different versions as to who wanted to be matir and which guy said he couldn't. One said Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi wanted to be matir, and what he wanted to be matir was klei pishtan, and Rebbe said no. And the second is Rebbe wanted to be matir the gruta ot, and Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi said no. So in the end, either which way you see it, the answer is no. Okay, it only works for produce because produce is common and therefore the rates are much more stable. Again, you could see how much. Right? That's why today's sugya is just very all over the place, because they just keep quoting cases and cases and situations that came up and questions that were asked, because they want to kind of get it all out there. By the way, this is sort of common for the end of a topic. Often they do that, right? When you're learning a perek or a topic, it starts off very misudar, and at the end they're just kind of throwing in all sorts of other things that come about. Pardisa. Okay, what about if let's say I want to acquire, again, there's a few different interpretations, but we'll go with Rashi. Rashi says, I want to acquire your whole area, like this whole area of grapes that are growing, but they're not ripe yet. And I say, I want them either for wine, or I want them, you know, I want wine from you, or I want to get the grapes so I can make wine when they're fully grown. And I want the whole area. So now we're going to have a machloket about this. Rav Asar Ushmuel Shari. Okay, now, in theory, okay, this should be okay, because really, what's the whole issue? When you acquire something, first of all, if I'm acquiring the grapes, then grapes are attached to the ground at this point. And therefore, it's as if I'm acquiring karka. And karka, right, I could do a kinyan on the karka, as opposed to other things where you can't do a kinyan on something that's mechubar if you're going to, but you can say that it's attached to the karka and should be able to do a kinyan. But it's still potentially ribit, because why? It looks like, this is really the issue, is it looks like ribit. Because again, you're linking into a higher price. And the owner, what's he giving you? He's giving you also his work in the field. Okay? So we're going to see, there's going to be a machloket about this. It's not really ribit, but it looks like ribit. So Rav Asar, kevan de lekame shavyetvei, mitchaze ki agar natarle. Okay, so because it's worth more in the end, right, it looks like he's giving him money to get more later. Okay? And also because he has to work the field. Ushmol share, kevan da havebe tiyuha lo michze ki agar natarle. Since we don't really know what's going to be with these, we have no idea what they're going to be valued at. It's so early in the stage that we don't really know anything, and therefore it doesn't look like agar natarle. You could say karov lehefsed, rachok lesachar, right? It's rachok lesachar, but karov lehefsed. We don't really know what's going to be, and therefore it's not. It doesn't look like we be. I'm Rav Shimi Bar Chiya. Umo de Rav bitore de nafish pseidayu. Rav would agree, though, if we're talking about ox, where they're right, 1 second. Nafish Pseidai, who we said here is, right, there's a different interpretation of this. Rashi has an interesting interpretation. He says it's not that you're buying ox, it's a place where you're botrim kramim bishvarim ba'agala, umolichim et ha'agala ben shurot ha'kramim, and because of that, they say the kerem gets destroyed from the raglei ha'shvarim, and therefore it's more likely it's going to be destroyed. Okay, it's a very strange interpretation that he uses this, but what he says is, if it's a kerem where oxen work there, then it's likely that there's going to be a big decrease. In other words, a bunch of the things are going to get ruined along the way, and therefore the price is going to go down rather than go up. Okay, well, why you would buy this in this case would be, right, would be kind of strange. Some people say it's actually talking about a purchase of ox. In other words, not that the ox have anything to do with this pardes. We're talking about now a purchase of ox. And it's a different situation. But anyway. Amar lehu Shmuel, lahanu deshavshe shavsha. Okay, this is good. What does this mean exactly? Okay. What do you say? Tongue twister, right. Shavshe shavsha. Okay. Again, different interpretations. We'll go with Rashi. Rashi says, these are people who give their field to a sharecropper. Okay? So they give their field, they grant their grain to a sharecropper. Now, what's the issue? When they get, what the sharecropper pays them a certain amount of the produce. So again, it could be going up in value, right? The question is, who's the owner of it at the time, etc. So what do we say? The people who own the land should be hafochu ba'ara ki hechi dekane lechu, gufa de'ara. Below, havi lechu kahal va'a va'asur. If the person who owns the field himself doesn't do a little bit of work, then again it's going to look like he's getting back more for what he gave them. It's basically like he's loaning them their field to work the field, and they're going to give him back a certain amount, and again it looks like a loan. So they have to go down and work the field a little bit to show that they're still owners of the land, and then that it's their land, and then it's not. Again, this is an issue of what it looks like, right? It looks like ribi. Here's another case where we have to do something like that. Amar lehu Rav lahanu de mintere bage, people who watch fields. Okay, now what's the issue? The people who watch the fields, when do they watch the fields? At the early stage. Right? Once there's a harvest, so they don't need to be watching the field. They watch the field while the stuff is growing. But they only get paid at the end of the season. So now again, what's going to happen? There's a time lapse between the time that they finish their work and are supposed to get paid, and then presumably they get paid with produce. And then there's the later time when they actually get paid, in which case when they get their money, it's going to look like rebate because they're getting money later, right? For not taking their money at first, it's like a loan, and they're going to get more. So what do they tell them to do? Rava says, "Hafochu bebei dre, ki heche delot eshtalem schirut itchu, ad hayishata, de schirut enem eshtalemet ela basof." Remember this? If they're supposed to get paid at the middle stage, right? Okay? And prices might go up to the later stage, right? They start their work here. They finish their work in the middle. They should get paid here, but they only get paid later, right? So if they get paid later, again, there's going to be a price fluctuation, and it's going to look like rebate. But if they do something, and they walk into the threshing floor and just do something in the, you know, the winnowing area, then what will happen? Well, you're only supposed to get paid at the end then of that activity, which means that that will be at the later stage, which means that when they get paid, that will be the actual time they're supposed to get paid, and therefore the price will be set at the later date, which means it won't be rebate, right? If the price they're supposed to get paid gets set at the middle date, then it will be rebate when they get paid later. So therefore, that's what they say. Vahishata, now we're going to just explain a little more, and at that moment, ozule de kamozle gabaifu. Ah, the issue here is also that when people pay them, they would add a little bit extra. So if you add a little bit extra, right, if someone gets a bonus at work, no one says that's rebate, okay? But if they get their bonus at a much later date, because they didn't, the boss says, listen, I'm going to pay you a month late, but I'll give you a bonus. That's rebate, because that's agarnata, right? You're getting rewarded for giving, letting him keep the money for longer. Amar le Rabbanan le Rav, ka'achil mar rebate. Wait a minute, this is rebate. Dekule alma shakle arba'a, umasalke larisa benisan, mar nataluhu ad iar v'shakel shita. Okay, so now there's another case. Rabbanan said to Rava, you're basically eating rebate. Why? Again, they always use that term, eating rebate. I'm not sure why eating, but you're taking rebate. Because everybody takes their produce for four, okay, four measures for zoos, let's say. Umisalke larisa benisan, and they kick out their aris in Nisan. Okay, so they, in other words, the aris works the land. They take their, right, the owner gets his four, his measures of four, and kicks out the aris in Nisan. But Mar, Rava, what are you doing? Not to luhuat iyar. You're letting him stay till iyar, bishakal shita, and you're getting a higher price. So basically, again, what are you doing? Because you're waiting to let your aris get paid, right, you're getting more for your money. Amar lehu. So now Rava says to the Chachamim, Atun ka abidatan shalo kadin. You're the ones doing shalo kadin. Ara la aris mishtabed. Because the land isn't my land. It's not like I'm giving him my land. The land is mishuabad to the aris. And I atun misalkitu luhu benisan mafsiditu luhu bekama. If you kick him out, the land really belongs to the aris while he's on the land. Now the land obviously goes up in value from Nisan to Iyar. So you, by kicking him out in Nisan, and he's only getting four, you know, in other words, he'll get a certain measure, he's going to be getting less than if you, the aris will get less. So if you kick him out in Nisan, mafsiditu luhu bakam. But ana nitarna luhu ad iyar, umrvachna luhu bakama. I'm actually letting him make more because I'm letting him stay till a later date. Okay, so therefore, I might be getting more, but he's also getting more. So again, it's not rebeat because each side is making more. Rav Meir Barachel, now we're going to see an interesting case. Mashkan lehu ahu nachra beta. He lent money to a, there's a whole thing about why he's called Barachel, by the way. Okay, you can look at Rashi. He says she was the daughter of Shmuel, and she was taken captive, and she married a non-Jew whose name was Isur Giora, and he was Mitgayer, but he was born, he was conceived before Isur was Mitgayer, and he was born once Isur was already a Ger. So there's like a little, you know, it's called Horatobik Shalobikdushan Ledatobikdusha. So it's a little bit of a pgam, so they call him by his mother's name. Okay, that's a famous story, by the way, about the daughters of Shmuel who were taken captive. We've seen it before. Here, it comes up in Ketubot, Kaf Gimel. So, anyway, Rav Mary, the son of Rachel, had a lamb from a mashkon from a nochri. Okay, so the nochri took out a loan and gave him his land. Now we're going to learn that the laws of nochrim are different when it comes to how we view this land. What did we say? When you give it, when a Jew gives the land, right? The land is not acquired to the malva, right? The malva takes his collateral. It's not owned by him, right? And he can't take the payroll because the payroll will be rebeat. Right? He's not allowed to eat the payroll unless he deducts it from the original loan. So now he took this mashkon and he didn't deduct, right? He ate payroll and didn't deduct it because it's allowed because it's rebeat. Okay, that he did. But we're going to see that by Nochri law, the land is acquired to the malva at the time of the loan. Okay? Hadr Zavna L'Rava. Now, the non-Jew sold this property that Rav Mary was on right now and had his collateral to Rava. Natar Treser Yarchashata. He waited, okay, Rav Mary waited 12 months. Shakil Agar Beta. He took the Schar Dira. Amte Luhu L'Rava. So after a year, okay, there's an assumption that for the first year you can eat payroll without having to pay for them. But after a year, he starts to pay Rava, money, schar dira, for living in his house. Amar le, hai dilo amta lamar agarbeta. The reason I didn't give you salary, rent payment, ada idna for the first year, because stam mashkanta shata, because a stam mashkon is a year. Okay, so basically what's he saying? Now that you bought this land, so for the first year, I have rights to this land no matter what, because the Nochri gave it to me, and Stam Mashkanta is for a year. Ibai Nochri the Salko, Lohava Matzah Masalikli. If the Nochri wanted to keep me out for the first year, he wouldn't be allowed to. But now, after a year, if the Nochri wants, he could pay me back my loan, and I'd have to give him back the land. Now, the assumption here is that we saw this before, that even if he pays back, the assumption is when you get land as a collateral, there's a certain base amount of time that he can't kick you out. This was all we saw. There's a makom de salku and makom de lo salku, right? There's a place where, and this is obviously makom de lo salku, that you were able to stay on the land even if the guy paid you back after a week, you'd be able to keep this land still for a year, okay? So he said, so therefore, I didn't kick you out for the first year. I didn't pay you rent for the first year because the guy couldn't kick me out. But after the first year's over, I feel like I have to start paying you rent. And he pays him rent up front, even though we really could have waited till the end of the year. But he pays him rent up front. Amarlei. So now Rava, see, is very surprised. He had no idea that this land was collateral for Rav Mary when he bought the property. Amarlei, ihava yadana, dahava mimushkan le lamar, lo havas vinele. Had I known it was mimushkan to you, I never would have bought it. Why? Here there's a din, okay, there's two different interpretations, but there's a din of bar metzra. What's bar metzra? If I sell my house, I have to ask my next door neighbors first if they want first dibs to the land. Okay, that's the din of bar metzra, because people generally would want to have more property near where their house is. And therefore, I have to sell it to them. So what does he say? He takes that one step further and says, if you were living in the land, then you should have first dibs to have bought it. And he assumes that maybe Rav Mary wanted to buy it. Okay, it's going to be clear that Rav Mary actually wasn't interested in buying it, but he thought that maybe he was interested in buying it. Other people say what he was really doing was just beyond the letter of the law. He was feeling bad, he was trying to be nice to the guy. Anyway, he says, Hashta, that I already bought it. Kidinehem avdinan lach. I'm gonna view this as if we're non-Jewish courts, which is what? Kol ema deloma salke bezuze, lo shakil agar beite. What do the non-Jewish laws say? Any time where they don't pay you the money yet, you don't have to pay schar dira on it. Okay, if he hasn't paid his loan back, then you don't have to pay me schar dira. So ananami lo shaklina minach agar beite adam slakin alach bezuze. So I won't take any rent until the guy pays you back the loan. Okay, so again, it's not clear whether this is Mi'ikara Din or he's just being, Lifnim Mishurat Din and what he's doing. Part of the issue here, I think, is also that maybe it was somewhere. I think that maybe it was, there would be a concern that maybe it was Rebeat because he's, let me try to remember, because he's, would it be Rebeat? Because if he gives him, he gets both the Schar Dira. I don't remember why it could potentially Rebeat. It's unclear exactly what the issues are. Here there's a discussion about it. I don't remember 100%. Yeah, I don't know. Here they don't quote it. I saw it somewhere else. Okay. Next case. Amalei Rav Ami Barnash the Rav Ashi. Chazei Mar Rabbanan Dekaachlei Ribita. I see that there's people who are taking Ribit. Diyavei Zuzei Achamra B'Tishrei. Umivcharei La B'Tevet. Right? They give money for wine in Tishrei, where the prices are low. Remember, we saw this a few times. And then they take their produce. They choose what produce they want to take in Tevet. Right? They pick the better stuff later on, which is worth more. Amarlei Inhu namri acham. Okay, now what's the issue? What does this mean? It means that they pick the best stuff, which means who takes achrayut, right? Let's say it turns to vinegar, right? The guy who's selling it to them. So again, that would be classic ribit, because he's assuming achrayut. So then, when he, right, they get back, wait a minute, is that right? Confusing who's who, right? If they get back more, then...
Says there's a greater chance of loss.
If they're paying early, and the mocher is accepting achrayut, right? Because the mocher is like the seller is like the borrower, because he gets his money early, right? And then he takes responsibility, so he's like the loaven, and then he gives back more eventually, right? So that's exactly ribit. So that's what he says. So Amar Lei. Inhu namri achamra kayave, achala lo kayave, meikara, dechamra chamra, dechala chala. Okay, what's chala? Chala is not chala. Chala is vinegar. So what are they saying? It's not that you're buying wine and then they're giving you, they're taking achrayut, that if something happens, right? The whole issue is if the seller takes achrayut, then it's a halva'a. But he's saying, what does it mean to take achrayut? He's taking achrayut for... if it turns to vinegar, right? If it's total loss. But he's saying vinegar is called vinegar and wine is called wine, which means when you bought it, you weren't buying vinegar, you were buying wine. You gave price the price for wine. Spoiled wine is not what you gave a price for. So therefore, in the end, when you say, I'm taking wine and I'm not taking vinegar, well, that's not because he took responsibility for losses. That's because you bought wine and you're getting wine. Then you're not getting vinegar. So therefore, it's not viewed as he's assuming responsibility for loss. It's just viewed as, I say I want wine, and in the end, I take wine and I don't take vinegar. So that's allowed. Okay, therefore he says, this isn't considered ribit. You can see how it all just depends on your perspective, how you look at it. It's just looking at it from a different way, and then you can say, oh, it's not ribit. So it's a little bit playing games, right? Because it's trying to figure out how to allow these things. Here it's a good case, because here it's people are doing something, and they start saying, well, maybe it's us or what they're doing. They say, no, no, no. Now, a lot of times when the rabbis justify things, they're justifying things that people are doing. So here it makes sense that they try to justify it and look at it from a different perspective to basically say, this is okay. Okay. Ha'usha, Ravina havayav zuze libnei akra deshanvata. Okay, he would give money to the people in this area. Bishapche leitfe kufita. And he would add a little bit extra. So Ata the Kamei Dravashi, Amarle Mishare, again, he's giving them a little extra, right? He's topping it off. That, again, looks like ribit. Amarle in, Achule Hudeka Machle Kabach. That's just because he was mochel, okay? There's a difference between doing something, giving extra, right? But here he's saying, I'm mochel, the seller is mochel, and therefore it's allowed. So again, the line is very fine between what's adding extra, what's, right? It's very tricky. Okay. One second. This is, I think, the next section, so maybe we'll stop here, right? No, it's continuous. Right. Oh, sorry. This one's still a continuation. So then he asks the continuation, right? One second. Right. There were two things I wanted to add here. So when he says he's mocha, right, why do we view this as mechila? So first of all, he says, number one, it's not ribit because they didn't say so from the beginning that we expect to get extra, so it's not ribit ketutza. And also, the seller is mosif on his own. Now, nobody asked him to be mosif. It's not like you link into a higher price, right? Here, the seller just decided to act on his own, so therefore you can view it as a matana. So then they say, Ravina says to Ravashi, but har ara lavdi dehi. But wait a minute, these people in this town of Shanvata are all living on stolen property. Okay, so how could you even sell this stuff? That's why I forgot it was connected, because it's like a new issue within this issue. Say, how could you even sell this stuff? So Amar Lei, why is it all stolen? Because what happened? All these people didn't pay taxes and they had to get off their land and other people came and took it. So how could this be okay? So they say, Amarle ara le taxa mishabda, umalka amar mandiav taxa lechul ara. Okay, so what do we say here? That this is, again, I didn't really say this term before, but it was obvious that Dina de Mahuta Dina, right? When Rava was dealing with the law of the land, he's saying, well, I'll judge just like Nochri land. So here also, what does he say? If the tax authorities decide, the king of the country decides that people who don't pay taxes, we're going to take that land away from them and give it to the taxpayers, then that's okay. Then those taxpayers who are living in the people who didn't pay the taxes land, it's not considered stolen land. It's basically land that they've acquired by law of the land. And therefore, they're allowed. Okay, so therefore, since the melech says it, he who pays taxes, lichol ara, can get the land. Therefore, these people are not living on stolen property. Okay, from here, we'll start tomorrow with another tax-paying story, and we'll have to wait till tomorrow for the esmach.